Vahiva derech b'malon, vayiv kishay Hashem, vayiv kesh hamiso, vatikachzi perad sor, vatechrosis or las bina, vatagel raglav, vatam ki chasanda mim atali. Vayirf mimenu, az amra chasanda mim lamulos. Rashi explains, vayiv kesh hamiso, hamalach lamoshe, lefi shalom malas Eliezer bino, v'yashen es rashal nena shmisa. That Moshe Rabbeinu was negligent in providing a meal for his son Eliezer, and therefore he was chayim misa. Tanya Amar Rav Yosi Chas V'Shalom and his Rashel El Amar Emol Veitzei Laderech Sakana Hilatina Kashol Shiyamim. So Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't his Rashel; he had a cheshbon. If I'm going to do the meal now and then go travel, that'll be a sakana. Emol Veitzei Shlosh Shiyamim. If I'll do the meal now and then wait to travel, Kadosh Baruch Hu Tzivani Leich Shem Mitzrayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a legitimate cheshbon why he didn't do the meal up. So he had the general right approach, but he shouldn't have been Osek Bamalon first. He should have reconfigured his plan of action. Okay, the Chizkuni actually has a different approach. Chizkuni, Rashi is assuming that the baby was born then and there, and the mila should have been done right away, and there was some delay because of the travel cheshbon. The Chizkuni has the following comment. Chasan damim lamulos, says the Chizkuni, kol zman shahaya bebeis chamav lo nenash, lefi shlo haya biyado sip safik lasos, bishvil chamav shayim akif. The baby was born earlier, and Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't in a position to perform milo when he was still bebeis chamav in Yisro's house, because this shouldn't be about Goza, but rather in the Yalkut. Shabika Shamalach Lamisa Bamalon, Bishvil Beno Bukharo, Shadain Lomal, Vidavis Agar and Leben Beno, Lios Oved, Avodas Kochavim. That somehow, when he was in the house of Yisro, Yisro prevented him from performing the Mila. And there's some understanding that that Moshe Rabbeinu's son will end up being Lavas Kochavim, which is a deal with Yisro. And that's why Moshe should have performed the Mila at the earliest possible opportunity. So there is a discussion among the Mefarshim. What exactly was the level of responsibility Moshe had? Was there a legitimate Sakana here? And what was Moshe's response to that Sakana situation? There's a comment of the Pardes Yosef, who quotes from a Sefer Kerem Tzvi, that Moshe Rabbeinu was faulted for the following cheshbon. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to wait until he got to the Malon in order to do the Bris Milah, because he wanted to perform the Milah in a more comfortable location where they could have a Sudas Milah Benachas, and they could have more people present. And the tain against Moshe Rabbeinu was that even though Moshe Rabbeinu's cheshbon was to delay the Milah in order to do it in a more mehudrik fashion, the more appropriate approach would have been to do it in a more zrizistic fashion, to do it earlier, even at the expense of Hiddur. So that's a little bit of a hakdama to a brief discussion of some of the COVID-related Mila issues that have come up over the last number of months. We had discussed a few years ago, the topic of the need for a minyan to be present at a bris milah. So that's one obvious situation that is easy to dispense with relatively, and many scenarios where it's not safe or practical to have a minyan present in the current situation. The Mechaber writes in Simen Reish Samech Hei Seif Vav, Hecha de Efshar Adina Mila Basara, Hecha de Efshar Adina Pachas Basara. So all things being equal, better to have a minion present, but if you don't have a minion present, also fine to do the Mila. What's the basis of the need for minion? So this we discussed in a previous year, just to recap briefly in a moment. There is a Pirkei de Blazer that has the following comment. Kol Eidos Ne'emenes Li Yisrael Basar. Pirkei de Blazer Perek Yutes. that anything that involves Eidos Nemenos, which we tried to explain what the common denominator between these things was last time. So there's something called Eidos Nemenos, not Davar Shebekedusha. And one of the things on this list is Bris Mila that requires 10 people because it's Eidos Nemenos. And then there's a comment of the Darkei Moshe that the reason to have a minion present for Bris Mila is it's analogous to a Yosef Beis Hasurim, who has to bench Gomel, and that's why you have the minion.
You're cutting out a lot.
I'm sorry?
You're cutting out a lot. Is everyone experiencing that problem?
That's fine to me.
Going in and out.
You actually look like you're frozen, Yehuda, I think.
Yehuda, it says you because we're fine.
Turn off your video, Yehuda.
Okay, everyone else hears me okay? Yeah, so Darkei Moshe says it's analogous to Yosef Beis Hasurim, just like a Yosef Beis Hasurim benches Gomel, so to the baby is Yosef Beis Hasurim when he's born, and you have a minion for that as well, and others explain that it's based on a notion of Pirsum. So the possible nafkamina that the later Svarim discuss, if it's a matter of Pirsum, so maybe you don't need a minion of 10 people. Maybe there's a malusa, even if you have 10 people, including women and children, because that creates a certain level of piercing. If it's Yosef Beis Hasurim, it should only apply to Mila Vakata, not to Mila Vagadol. And is there a point to having more people, even if it's not a formal minion? So if it's Eidos Nemenos, that sounds like it's 10 people dafka. If it's Yosef Beis Hasurim, that's 10 people dafka. If it's a matter of piercing, maybe there's Pearson even less than 10 people. Maybe there's a value of having 7 people over 3 people. That's what the Minchas Yitzchak discusses in a Chelech Chesem and Sadi, that even if you can't have 10 people, maybe it's better to have 8 over 6. And then there's a discussion in Poskim, is it better to delay the Mila to later in the day, even after Chatzos, if you're going to be able to have a minion in the afternoon that you couldn't have in the morning? The Minchas Yitzchak in that Shuvah says yes, or Vavadya says yes, in Chelek Beis Yoredeya Simen Yudches, Chelek Beis Simen Yudches. And Ramosha has a line in Chelek Dalid Simen Gimel in a late Shuvah. Ramosha writes, Mashik Asaftam, Pirkadur Blazer, Isa Edis Bris Mila Basarish, M. Kane, Eno, Midin, Darvish of Kedusha. It's not a Darvish of Kedusha, it's something else. Lachain, Ela Hakbin, Mashik, Basacholim, Lomanich, Likanes, Minion, Becheder Shemalin. So since it's not really a formal minion, Darvish of Kedusha, there's not a big deal if you have a meal in a hospital and they don't let everyone into the room. Alamistaklin, Shar Ha'am, Derech Hazuchuchis. That Evan is behind glass, or nowadays maybe plexiglass. Mishum de la Eidos, Kesherin and Mistarfin, Af Elisha Bechadar Acher, Kemen Sharal Kopanim. If it's a matter of Eidos, so they see through the glass, they see through the plexiglass, even if they can't hear. So that would be a sufficient Kiyam of Asara if you're able to have Asara on the other side of the glass. We did a minoy for a get not long ago of a husband who was in a rehab facility where they didn't let any visitors in, but we were able to stand on the outside of a big glass window and see through the window and communicate with them that way so we could authorize the writing of a get. But in the scheme of things, having a minion for Bismillah is not the most critical component, and therefore where it's not advisable or practical to have a minion, then that's easily dispensed with. Rabbi Willie pointed out that there may be a cruel benefit for some in this situation where you have a very limited number of people at a mila. As far as the skula of Sandakos for Ashiras, the Rama quotes that there is such a connection between being a Sandak and accruing wealth. So Rabbi Willie pointed out that famously, Rabbi Herschel Schechter from the Bronx, Rabbi J.J. Schechter's father, once asked the Rav, why is it that most people who are a Sandik don't become rich? Aren't they? Isn't that the tried test that a Sandik will become rich? So the Rav apparently answered that there are other forms of wealth beyond money. But Rabbi Kreisworth was asked this question, and Rabbi Kreisworth said that the reason most people do not become rich when they are a tzaddik is because they don't do tzaddikos the right way. Tzaddikos the right way isn't just the tzaddik is holding the baby while seated, but the tzaddik b'umid as well holds the baby for brachos and kriyas shem. But most situations, you split all the kibudim. And Rabbi Willig related that Rabbi Kreisworth once was mechubed with both the tzaddik sitting down and the tzaddik b'umid. And shortly after that, he was involved in a situation that ended up bringing him in a significant amount of money. So in a situation where there were very few people present, it may be more practical to be mechaber the same person with both tzaddikos, and you can see whether that actually works. Related, the mechaber, the Rama writes in the end of Siman Reis Samachay, that a suda also should l'chachila have a minion, but as a suda's mitzvah, but again, that's a matter of l'chachila. If it's not possible, practical, or safe, then it's not. As far as recommended practices for mila under the current situation, so at the beginning of this whole pandemic, Professor Steinberg wrote a list of recommendations that were adopted as the official protocols of the Rabbanut HaRashit in Eretz Yisrael, most of which are intuitive. Rav Asher gave his haskama to these, or was gave his haskama to these hanchiot. Standard suggestions of distancing and limiting crowds and making sure that no one with any exposure is anywhere near anyone else. If the mother was exposed or the mother is positive, then the mila should be delayed for 14 days. Otherwise, if there are no exposures and everyone acts safely and the mola takes the proper precautions of hand washing and hand sanitizing, etc., and not doing mitzitza bepeh, then Dr. Steinberg writes, this is reasonably safe. So on that point of mitzitza bepeh, there is a brief tshuva printed from Rabbi Ben Sion Vosner, the son of the Shevet HaLevi, formerly of Muncie and now exclusively of Beit Shemesh, where he writes very briefly that it's impossible to concede doing proper mitzitza bepeh even under the current circumstances. And if one is faced with the choice of not doing mitzitza bepeh, and for him, mitzitza betub is not considered mitzitza bepeh, not considered mitzitza at all. So if it's a choice of doing mitzitza betub or not doing the bris milah at all, then you should delay the bris milah and not be mevater on mitzitza bepeh, because after all, the Gemara indicates that mitzitza, if you don't do mitzitza, that's a sakana. And the ein lanu ela divrei chazal, that's considered a sakana. So how could you put yourself in a situation of sakana of doing a bris milah without doing mitzitza bepeh? Most other contemporary poskim are not of that mindset. And even those who come from traditions that look down upon or do not accept under normal circumstances mitzitza betub, but under the current circumstances, push comes to shove, they acknowledge that mitzitza betub is a sufficient kiyum of mitzitza to the extent that you need mitzitza. So for example, Rish Sternbach, Shuvas van Hagos, Chelek Beis, Simen Tav Kuf Gimel, Shuvas van Hagos, Chelek Beis, Simen Tav Kuf Gimel, in the context of concern about AIDS, going back a few decades. So he writes, he discusses how real a sakana is it, the risk of an infection of AIDS when AIDS first came out in the 80s. But if there is a real chashash sakana, asher lasa mitzitza b'kli, then you can do mitzitza b'tub. Kafisha shamati mi maran hagriz, shebebris haisa magefa de tuberculosis, that the brisker of related there is a tuberculosis outbreak once in Brisk. There is a concern for the safety of all involved. So Reb Chaim was willing to allow mitzitza betub as a kiyum of mitzitza. Aval kamor is a rak ba'ofen shahuchach sheyesh eitz ha'sakana mamash shishkiya chazeka. Shebezeh ein ha'pasek deshomer mitzvah lo yeda davera applicable. Aval machal azos de'eiz lo nispashit etzleinu akadeh chashash shalenu chalom reshomer mitzvah yeda davera. So he doesn't think that the concern of AIDS at the time that he wrote the tshuva rose to the level of preventing doing mitzitza b'peh. But if you were to have such a situation, he quotes this representation for the Brisk Rav Shem Reb Chaim that you can use a tube for mitzitza. And Rav Sternbach wrote this in the current situation as well, in a addendum to one of his weekly or the weekly parsha sheets that they put out with his Toros, that under the current circumstances, there's no objection to using, and it's advisable to use a tube as opposed to doing mitzitza b'peh, where there's a potential chashash sakana of doing real mitzitza b'peh. Rav Yashiv wrote a similar thing in the AIDS context. Chelik Aleph Kovitz Tshuva Simen Kuf Beis. Chelik Aleph Simen Kuf Beis. He refers to the Gedolim of the previous generations, including Rebbe Yisrael Chanan and Reb Shlomo Vilner and Reb Yitzchak Panovitcher and the altar of and the Aruch HaShulchan and Reb Chaim Ozer, that they all agreed b'makom de'ika shum shemetz chashash svek sveka l'sakana ein l'daktek al kiyam minag abaseinu. So that's a quotation he has from Reb Chaim Berlin, who used that language, that anytime there's any chashash, shemetz chashash, svek sveka l'sakana, any relatively minuscule concern of a possibility of sakana, then you don't have to be medaktek al kiyam minag abaseinu. That's in the context of mitzitza b'peh, that even though all things being equal, they would advise, or even if you come from a background that would advise doing mitzitza b'peh, not relying on a tube, but where there's any chashash sakana, a tube is acceptable. And I saw that quote of Hashem the Chazon Ish as well. Even though Rav Elsner writes in a tshuva, the Shevet Levi writes in a tshuva, that he was once at a bris of the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish remarked that most of our communities now, using a tube has been acceptable enough that you can't insist on mitzitza b'peh. But you come from a community where they still insist on mitzitza b'peh, so that's appropriate to preserve that minhag. Okay. There was earlier in the pandemic, Rav Asher has a letter about this. Rav Asher had written a letter that he was misquoted or the position was misrepresented. But at least one of the rabbinic organizations in France earlier on had come out with a proclamation that no one should be doing mila there at all, which seemed to have been based on false information. I recall, I think Rabbi Lau's office, the current chief rabbi, was involved in dealing with that and others as well. Rav Asher and one of the printed shuvas, both in the Minchas Asher Corona and printed in the volume Hevi'ani Chadarav, which is 600 pages of shuvas on Corona matters, pointed out that there's no legitimate sakan in mila if you take the proper precautions, and therefore does not make sense to have any blanket policy of not allowing milas, and I think that was rectified at the time. What about reciting brachos when you have a minimal number of people present, or let's say the father is not present at the location of the milas? That was the Noam Kranz Maisa. But Rav Asher has a brief shuv about this, as does Rav Shechter in the current situation. So in Shulchan Aruch, it says in Siman Reis Samachay at the beginning, Hamal Mevarech Asher Kedushan Mitzvah Vitzivanu Al Mila, Avi Aben Mevarech Ben Chasicha Saorla Lepri Asher Kedushan Mitzvah Vitzivanu Lachnisa bevisa shel Avraham Avinu, says Rama. Vim ein aviyah ben etzlamila, if the aviyah ben is not present, yesh mi she'omer she'adam acher mevarech bracha zu. Darei ha-bezdin mitzuben lamulo. So it's not only the mitzvah on the father, it's the mitzvah on bezdin if the father is not available to perform the mitzvah. So both the Rav Asher and Rav Shechter write that if the aviyah ben is not there physically, but he's calling in or he's zooming in, and the people in the room can hear, then it would be acceptable for the Aviyah Ben to recite the Bracha of Lachniso via Zoom or via telephone. He says, Rav Asher writes, he doesn't think it makes sense to go as far as what was quoted B'Shem Rav Yashiv. Rav Yashiv apparently said, or was quoted as saying, that in a situation where the Aviyah Ben is not present, but he knows when the meal is going to take place, he's not on the phone, he's somewhere else, he knows when the meal is supposed to take place, then he can recite Lachniso wherever he is at the time that he believes the meal to be taking place. So Rav Asher writes, he finds it difficult to accept, because what's the connection between the Aviyah Ben and the actual meal taking place? But if you are connected and the people in the room here, so then it would make sense to recite Lachniso even over a telephone connection. However, the bracha Asher Kideshi Dimi Beten, Rav Asher thinks that bracha needs to be recited by a person who's in the room, because that bracha is not a berachas hamitzvah. It's a bracha. I mean, Lachnis also may depend on whether it's a berachas hamitzvah or berachas shavach vodah, but either way, if that's a bracha that's miyuchah to the Aviyah Ben, and the Aviyah Ben is somehow connected to the people there in real time, that may be sufficient to allow him to recite the bracha. But Asher Kideshi Dimi Beten may be a bracha that's mutal on all the people who are present, analogous to what Birchas Nisuin is. A Birchas Nisuin is not the bracha of the Chasan Kala per se, it's a bracha of all the people present. So if it's a bracha of all the people present, maybe someone who's actually present physically needs to recite that bracha. And Rav Shechter writes the same thing as well. How can you say kayem es hayeled hazeh, that the baby has to be there? So he says, if it's the actual bracha, Asher Kideshi Dimi Beten should be there. If it's just to say the tefillah, Kayem HaSeyalad HaZeh, that's only a tefillah, it's not a bracha, so then if you're not there physically, maybe you could say that as well. So maybe the Kriyas Shem could be done remotely as well. Rav Asher and the Shuvah also raises the following question. How far does a Moel need to go to put himself in a inconvenient situation in order to perform a bris milah? So aside from COVID, a normal situation, so he quotes a tshuva of Dayan Weiss, Minchas Yitzchak, Chele Beis Siman Ayin Hei, who was asked whether a traveling Moel needs to inconvenience himself and his family to go out of town for a yantiv in order to perform a bris milah. He wants to be home for Rosh Hashanah. It's hard to find a Moel. Someone in an out-of-town location needs a Moel. So is he mechuyev to leave his family for Rosh Hashanah? So Dayan Weiss discusses that, first of all, does Rosh Hashanah fit into the normal pattern of other Yom Tovim? Is there a mitzvah Simcha Rosh Hashanah, which we've discussed in the past? So for regular yantiv, maybe you shouldn't be mevato, you're not mechuyev to be mevato your Simchas yantiv. Rosh Hashanah may not have the same level of Simcha, Shagasari notwithstanding. So maybe Rosh Hashanah, there's more of an imperative to travel because you're not being Mevatel Simchas Yantiv. Maybe there's still an Oneg Yantiv. And the Minchas Yitzchak is inclined to push this Moel to travel because it's a mitzvah that needs to be done. So you have a certain level of achrayus to ensure that a mitzvah is going to be done, even at the expense of your own personal comfort. So he says that you can't absolutely be mechayif as a mevatel oneg yantiv and inconvenience his family, but he thinks it's commendable, advisable, and maybe even on some level obligatory for the moel to incur personal inconvenience in order to perform bris milah. Rav Asher disagrees to a certain extent with that, both in this recent tshuva and in a brief piece in his volume on Klal Mitzvos, and Rav Asher points out that there should be a difference between a mitzvah sayachid and a mitzvah satzibor. If a person has a mitzvah that he must perform as a yachid, his own personal obligation, so then there are standards for what how to prioritize when a mitzvah needs to be performed. And even if it's an inconvenience to yourself, you have to perform mitzvahs that you have to perform. But when is a mitzvah satzibor? And there are two levels of mitzvah satzibor for bismillah. Number one, if there is a father, it's the chiv of the father. The father can't do it himself, so he has to find someone else to do it for him. But that's not even a chiv on the tzibor yet. That's a chiv on the father. If there's no father, so then it's a chiv on the tzibor. So either way, it's not a chiv on this particular moel per se, if he's in a situation to help, so it's advisable that he should help. But at the end of the day, it's not his chiv. So the level of inconvenience that a person needs to incur when it's not his chiv is different than the level of inconvenience you need to incur if it is your chiv. So Rav Asher thinks even in the Yantar situation of the Minchas Yitzchak, it's not so compelling that you have to force this Moel to leave his family for Rosh Hashanah to travel somewhere else to do Bris Mila. And especially in the current situation, if there's a chashash of Sakana or there's a health concern, if a Moel is reluctant to travel due to health considerations, that's totally his prerogative. And if there's no one else to do the Mila, so then that's an onus. Onus Rachmana Patre. There's no way around it. They should do whatever they can to ensure that the Mila can be done as soon as possible. But if there's no Moel who's comfortable traveling because of the health considerations, then at the end of the day, that's an onus. And the Moel doesn't need to bend over backwards to put his life at any potential risk in order to do a Mila to help someone else. So these are some of the Mila-related issues that have come up in recent months that have been discussed in the contemporary literature.
Thank you, Rabbi Zilber.